Welcome back to the Dang Old Venture Boys. I am your host, Johnny, here with my co-host,
Mark,
here for another adventure into venture land. Wow, a lot of ventures back and forth. Mark, how do you feel about the mystical arts, if you will?
I mean, it's kind of a silly question, John. My name is Mark and I'm a wizard. It says so in my Twitter profile.
This is true. What about Draculas? How do you feel about Draculas?
Less good, but if I know that, you know, where they're at, I feel better about it, you know. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, but final question here. How do you feel about Joy-Cans?
Oh, I hate them. What the hell is... who are you? You think you're better than me? Come on.
Yeah, definitely don't want to be busted in while you're looking for my hairbrush. That's why it locks from the inside. Mark, we are back to talk about the Venture Bros. We are on Season 1, Episode 5, so why don't we tune in our communicator watches for Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Magic. For those of you that have not watched this episode, here is your cue to stop us now and watch it before I give you my recap. All right, Mark. It's an eerie night at the Venture Compound when out of the green mist comes Dr. Orpheus. The Venture's new tenant is a practitioner of the dark arts and certainly not a Dracula. When Brock accidentally stumbles into Doc Venture's joy can, the rest of the gang is left wondering how to get him out. Hank and Dean come up with a plan involving boss hats, but soon find themselves trapped with Brock. Orpheus and Doc try every magical thing in the book to open the joy can, but no avail, until Doc reveals the sinister power source for his machine. Then, only the power of true love can stop it, and it comes in the form of teenage lust towards Triana Orpheus. We have notable first appearances this episode of Dr. Byron Orpheus, the Joy Can, Simba the Cat, Tommy, and Triana Orpheus. Tommy is, in fact, he's a throwback. He's the guy who's speaking in sign language to Brock in the Joy Can.
Right.
Yes. So, Mark, I need you to tell me what a rusty venture is.
Johnny, a rusty venture is when you are out for a night on the town and you've had a couple one too many, and then you look across the bar and you're pretty sure you recognize the swamp mana symbol on the hot girl's tank top, and then you go up and talk to her because it's going to be a point of common ground for you, and it doesn't matter that you haven't played Magic since college, but what does matter is that she's actually just a Jimbo Jones aficionado.
Ooh, very nice. She got it with a four-finger discount, man.
Now my pants are chafing me.
A rusty venture are our standout moments and jokes in the episode here. So why don't we just bust on into these? But first, I have to ask you, is it okay if I cry?
You're allowed to cry, buddy. It's okay.
Good. Even when I accidentally wake you up and you almost choke me out, it's okay to cry then?
I mean, that only happened twice, dude, so yeah, of course.
Oh, such a good moment. I love the shit that Brock puts up with Hank specifically, because Dean doesn't cling on to him like Hank does, but, oh, it's wonderful. I love that Dr. Orpheus, not unlike one Dr. Thaddeus Venture, isn't actually a doctor. That makes me happy.
I like that we have pretty similar between like all members of the High Hammock Radio family. We all kind of have like very similar curriculum vitae to Orpheus.
Right.
Major in communications with a bullshit throwaway minor. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what we did. Hey, I kind of sort of took my minor and made it into my master's, but not really.
That's true.
Interdisciplinary studies means I didn't get a minor, so there you go. I don't know if you noticed this, but specifically at the end of his first real big long rant before they leave his not fireplace, Orpheus's face model gets really weird for a minute there. Like, did you happen to notice that his face goes really off model? Like, I don't know if it's they were trying different camera angles or just like drawing him differently, trying some things out. Did you notice that, or am I just like, did I need something for watching this today?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. He's got a lot of weird angles. Like, there's that one when he's like looking straight down into the camera and it's like, what is going on here? It's different.
Okay, maybe that must be what it is. Well, because as the series progresses, and this isn't really spoilers, but Orpheus definitely, he settles into his character model very well. And the joke can be made here that he looks like Benedict Cumberbatch for all intents and purposes, like super drawn in, sucked in, like high cheekbones, very British, all that sort of shit. And obviously the joke is because of who the reference is. But like, this is just interesting. Like, he's a lot more filled out in this episode. And I think it's because like, hey, we're just introducing him. We have no idea how long he's going to stick around or how often we're going to be able to dip into that company ink, if you will. But give me some of your Rusty Ventures, buddy.
More of Doc killing his twin. John, am I going to get resolution for this?
Yeah, it's actually, it's in my, lore building section here.
Okay, cool. Hey, we got the introduction of Dr. Orpheus, or we have Dr. Strange at home. You pretty much already hit that.
I'm embarrassed how long it took me to realize that that was a send-up of Doctor Strange, considering he is one of my favorite Marvel heroes.
I like Strange quite a bit. I like the esoteric mysticism bullshit. It's cool, and it gets used pretty well. Or, you know, not well, but, like, there's a nice pastiche of, like, dumb shit that Marvel uses, and I like it. Side pro to him, you know why animators draw four fingers? Because hands are hard, except for the animators on the dang or on the Venture Brothers, because they animate the shit out of Orpheus's hands. It's great.
Yes, they do.
I really appreciate that. Like, he even does like the Doctor Strange, like, he does the like open the portal deal. You can, you know, he like makes the like air vagina with his fingertips.
Yes.
It's pretty neat. Yeah. It's also neat. I like Dean's jean jacket, and I want one like that. It's not a jean jacket. It's just a Dean's jacket. I'm just dyslexic and read jeans jacket. But I like Dean's jacket, that, like, weird puffer with the fur on it. I think that's a really cool... Maybe this ought to go in, what do you call it, references. But Brock Sampson talking shit about In Through the Outdoor. Yeah, Zeppelin did kind of sell out on that one, but it's all right because Me and My Lady's Song comes off a Zeppelin album. That's right, Houses of the Holy. But I won't tell you which one. Giant horseshoe crabs. Are these Mirelurks? Question mark? I don't know.
Honestly, Jonas Venture creating Mirelurks makes sense. That totally tracks. He's just insane enough to do it.
I get a real Dr. House vibe out of Jonas. So why not?
Interesting. Okay.
It sometimes gets hot in the box, Johnny.
Hey, speaking about getting hot in something, Mark, how much did you like that Q-tip comment about poor Simba?
Hey, I gotta ask, as a cat owner.
My cats have all get like their insides taken out, so they don't go into heat. I'm a you know what? Fucking flag planted. I haven't gotten a soapbox on this show yet. But we're going to plant a flag right here. You need to spay and neuter your pets. There is a million strays out there that are continuing to repopulate the earth. If you have one, it's an inside or ownership pet. It needs to be spayed and neutered. I don't care.
Anyway,
the long and short of
that
is...
And if you have a child, it needs to be spayed and neutered also. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Chemical castration. Get them when they're young and it's not a problem.
Make the castrati great again.
My cats don't go through heat or spraying or any of that stuff because, like a responsible pet owner that I am, I've gotten all of them fixed before they are, like, of age, really. Which, basically, you have, like, the first 4 months of their life to get that done. And if it's a male cat, it's, like, an in-and-out procedure. It's, like, nothing. Even female cats, like, my sweet little babies don't like their bellies being touched because that's a little bit more intrusive. But... Yeah, no, you don't have to deal with that, and you just get to enjoy your lovely, beautiful little animal, and they don't scream at you all the time, at least not for that, but, God, the warm Q-tip, that sounds messed up. That's one of the more disturbing things. I forget this show can throw me to places like that.
It's weird. It's real weird,
So, anyway, back at the ranch.
I wrote the note. back at the ranch, I wrote the note, because I didn't know what the Joy-Can was at this point. Matter transporter, you say, and it only transports matter? Okay.
You and I are in the same brain space today, buddy.
Well, and I kind of just changed the subject because you just asked me about how I felt about a certain character's introduction. And I think this might be one of the first cons in this show. And John, you told me that I wasn't going to get horny for cartoon characters anymore. You fucking lied,
oh,
man.
Oh, no.
You fucking lied to me.
You're going to tell me, Mark, you're going to tell me that Muscle Woman Triana Orpheus is doing it for you?
I'm sorry. You wanted to also talking about animation flubs. There's that cut of her standing outside and, like, she's got the exact same body model as Brock, just scaled down and not as muscly. Like, she's hitting that, like, T frame. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the broad shoulders tapering down to the waist, like that good, like, the classic bodybuilding T. Yeah, she's nailing it. Oh, my lordy. But wow. Also, as a general note, I like Triana, and I think it's... I genuinely like her and Dean's interaction at the table. It's pretty cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just call it a blouse?
I don't even remember what he says, but yeah, he just like totally changes the subject.
What about you? Anything else you like in the stood out to you here?
Yeah. So the entire Brock's entire sequence in the Joy-Can before we realize what it is. Is mm-hmm. excellent. And really, I wrote that at, I think it's the second flashback, because the first one is him playing football and talking to his buddy who he accidentally killed. And it's okay, Mark, because he wasn't supposed to have that ball. He wasn't supposed to run that way. He should have run faster, whatever the hell he says. Whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
Really, really a lot. But really, no, it's the second sequence where, like, somebody's riding on bears and there's dinosaurs. And then eventually we cut back
so
to the third sequence.
It's T-Rex's... I'm pretty sure they're supposed to be like Nazi motorcycles driven by polar bears, and the T-Rexes are firing those the whatever the Nazi machine guns were.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, like yeah, that whole sequence, and then we cut to Brock on top of a heap of bodies because he's killed mm-hmm. them all. Like it looks like was it Barbarella? Like he's just standing on top of the mountain, or Conan.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a very
I'm pretty sure they're trying to
I've
do
got.
A Conan, yeah.
Okay, the Conan makes more sense, right?
Yeah.
So that entire sequence, wonderful, especially ending up with the Molotov in the end. Like, okay, yep, loving this. Mark, I started this sentence as Doc made a jerk tube, and then I added to it, Doc made a jerk tube out of an orphan. It is powered by the heart of an orphan. Now, as if we didn't think that jamming a warm Q-tip up your cat who's in heat was enough, I've got to say, a masturbatory tool that's made out of the heart of a homeless child, that's up there for me is fucked up.
Can I counterpoint?
Please?
If anybody wanted them, they wouldn't be orphans, and Doc is a job creator.
Wow.
I'm playing. I'm sorry to all of our orphan listeners. That was the worst thing I think I could ever say.
Yep.
Okay, but also, I'm sorry, dude. Doc builds a holodeck out of an orphan's heart. The man is a genius. I don't care how evil it is. That is brilliant, dude.
Well, his orphan holodeck also creates poisonous magic pie, and that was my last Rusty venture. I'm so hungry, Mark. That is a poisonous magic pie. Because, you know, he needed it. Okay, so.
So parodies... did Brock also get poisoned when Cocktease put him in the flying head scissors?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
What are you doing? What are you doing in the joy tube, Johnny? I got to ask you. Unlimited power. You can't eat the pie. What are you doing?
Like what's going to give me the biggest serotonin hit?
So I'll tell you mine and you can think about yours cause I'm putting you on the spot. I'm playing Pokemon with cryptids. So basically it's Pokemon, but you know, cryptids instead of Pokemon. And me and my team are battling across the European theater during World War II. But like, you know, it's kind of like a JRPG where, you know, just random encounters and you just go through and do that.
Interesting.
Brad and I are into week three of our World War II miniseries for Show the Kids, so you can tell what's on my mind.
I can. It's good subject matter. I binged all of Band of Brothers and The Pacific when I was back in the States and had COVID.
Oh, I just finished The Pacific. Oh, yeah. We should talk about The Pacific. Listeners, if you want me and Johnny to do a three-hour miniseries in The Pacific, let us know, because I will talk about it.
I mean, we're ripe for it, for sure. Oh, what's going to be in my joy tube? Honestly, it's a toss-up, right?
Okay.
It's a toss-up, and this is some of these are going to sound like one of these is definitely going to sound like you're going to go, oh, Johnny. It's definitely going to be like waking up and having breakfast at one of my grandma's houses.
Okay.
Like getting grandma meal one more time because neither of them are with me anymore, and I'm like, oh fuck, I really want that. Just a never ending pile of Pokemon / Yu-Gi-Oh! / Magic cards that I can open. Like I can just they just keep coming. Like as long as you want them, and you just keep getting cool shit time after time after time after time, and then you know just unlimited shit. I don't know. Probably the time I got to touch my first boob. I just get to do that.
So you're going to practice being a husband. I see. I see.
Just touching boob, dude. It's good. listeners, this is not a suggestion that you should all ever take seriously, but if you want to send us what you would do with a joy tube, please send it to our Blue Sky. Mark, where do parodies and references? what I did this week for parodies and references, other than saying scuba,
it's a funny word.
I took the stuff from the wiki, but I did it after I had watched the episode and made my own list. So you and I have our own lists, and then we have stuff to kind of make up for it if we missed anything. How's that sound? A little bit more fair?
Yeah, I like that better than just us reading off the wiki, because like you and I are both sharp-eyed, we're both pop culturally sensitive, so absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Not sensitive,
aware.
You
want me to start?
Take it away, buddy.
The first one you and I hit real quickly, and I think it's hard to miss with how obnoxious and ridiculous he is, but Dr. Orpheus is, in fact, Doctor Strange. He's a send-up of Marvel character Doctor Strange. Stephen Strange. Except for Dr. Stephen Strange is an actual doctor. Wow.
Yes,
you ever
say
a word so many times it sounds weird, Mark? Doctor.
Like scuba? Oh.
Doctor. Doctor. Anyway, your matter transporter is definitely one that I put in here because I said, is this a Fly reference? Like Cronenberg's Fly? Because it looks
that's
exactly
what I thought
like
we were
the
doing.
Transporters from that. And
yeah,
that,
that's what I thought
the
we were
Simpsons
doing.
Joke of it. Yep. I guess it's not transporting anything, but holy hell does it look like that. Let's see here. I have in here, is Dean Jughead? Because he's wearing that, like,
he's wearing
crown
his Burger King crown.
yeah. And I just went, wait a minute. Is Dean supposed to be Jughead? Because I can see that. He's based off of, like, 1950s comics and crap. Like, that makes sense to me. Jughead.
Stay out of Riverdale.
And my last reference I caught in here.
Never mind. I was going to say, this Jughead is a jackass, but that's not the right quotes. Never mind. Sorry, keep going.
The last one I caught here was at one point, Triana says the compound. Okay, David Koresh. And I went, oh, I just watched a thing about Waco. That's fucked up.
Which one did you watch?
I watched like the most important events of the 90s. It's just something that's on the Discovery portion of Disney over here. I was like, I want something that I don't have to think about, but is kind of informational, if you will. It was just like why we love the 90s. So I got to see all about Kurt Cobain's suicide and OJ's run for everything. And they somehow managed to skip the Menendez brothers. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Real? Okay. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah. But I got Waco and I got
Waco.
Oklahoma City. So there you go.
Because Oklahoma City was supposed to be incited by Waco.
Right. At least that's what McVay
said.
That
and the Mount Carmel. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, your parodies references, what did you catch?
parodies, references, Ouija boards. Do you ever fuck around with Ouija boards when you were a kid?
I cannot say that I have. It's not that I didn't want to. I just never have.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I did a couple times and I didn't get much out of it. I don't buy into group magic because I think group magic makes, you know, group think, and therefore you're not making magic. You're just agreeing with each other. Advanced arachnid research. Did Doc Venture make Spider-Man? Question mark.
You haven't gotten to Spider Skull Island yet, so that question is TBA or TBD.
Okay. Okay. So, hey, here's trivia. Here's your, when you go to the, pub to watch your foosball, and they also are doing, like, German trivia, and you're gonna, like, hear these letters, or you're gonna hear the word. You know what scuba stands for, off the top of your head?
Scuba. I do not.
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Nice. Okay. I think I've heard that before.
And it was invented by Jacques Cousteau. So, there you go. Bear that as you will. Nice. Matter transporter only transports matter. Oh, hey, I got a fun reference for you. You know who Brock is dressed as?
Hmm.
In his fantasy?
No, who?
I am sending you a picture right now on Discord.
Thank you.
I am 900% sure it is a reference to Pocahontas' boyfriend, Kokoum, in the 1990 whatever the hell Disney film.
That definitely looks like Brock. Yep.
The fucking bear paws on his chest and, like, minus the kitty head on the breech cloth. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I wrote these like a dumb shit. I really need to learn how to work out a script for this show because I'm fucking bad at it. Okay. I know it's not the boo box, but is he putting the boys in a boo box to be educated in? Because that's kind of what it seems like.
The bodies?
The boys. When, you know, because, like, Dean is talking to Trion and he goes, yeah, we mostly go to school in a box my dad built. It gets hot in the box. But, you know, like, the boo box from Hook?
I don't. I've never seen Hook.
It's like a torture box. It's fucked up. Like, the Captain Hook punishes his guys by throwing him in a box and, like, dumping shit on him. But then you find out that, like, Uday and Kusei Hussein used to do the same thing to the Iraqi soccer team when they would lose matches. They'd throw him in a fucking box with a bunch of pissed off scorpions as punishment.
Wow. Okay, no, this is not the same way. This is not the same thing.
It's okay, but then also, is he just putting the boys in the hole? This is a Cool Hand Luke reference. I don't know. I'm sure it's just, like, a terrible, like, I'm sure it's a thing. I'm sure it's like a Skinner box or some type of box. I don't know, but something reference it. I'm just not picking up here.
No, it's later also, in our references.
Okay, cool. Also, pop culture references. It's not pop culture reference, but it's referential to what my curriculum vitae has, and it's sign language. That's right. I minored in American Sign Language, kids.
Yeah.
Mark is a polyglot, so to speak, and I'm 900% sure that anything Tommy's saying is not what he's supposed to be saying, because he says underwear like 10 times there in the end. That's what the fork fingers on the chin is underwear. Or at least that's how I learned how to say underwear. He doesn't say it's not your fault. He doesn't really say much of anything. He says something about, like, the game in the very beginning. But that's it. I don't know. Or this is Texas Sign Language, and in Texas Sign Language, the sign for underwear is actually the sign for I love you. Don't ask me why. There's dialectic, or there's, like, accents in ASL, and that's one of them.
Sure.
Yeah. Those were all my references that I could find.
Okay.
So what did we miss?
We missed a couple of things here. So first one, Adam and the Ants. Triana Orpheus refers to Adam and the Ants, and it's a new romantic band. They probably sound an awful lot like the Smiths. I don't know. Maybe that's me being a dickhead.
But that's not Adam Ant, right?
No, Adam and the Ants. So
right.
A-D-A-M,
I just know there's one that's like
A-T-O-M.
Yeah, there is one. I think it's like ATOM, like Up and Atom Ants. Yeah.
Up and Atom. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so we actually saw the boys' beds in our last episode, Mark, because they are in them right before they go into the panic room. Okay. I don't know how far back you remember that. But the learning beds is what they're called. The learning beds in the boys' room are the hibernation pods from Alien. That's what they are. So it's not a boo box.
That's awful. Okay. So
yes,
it's worse.
They're basically, They're the hibernation pods from Alien, and they will feature quite prominently throughout the duration of this. So you'll see them plenty of times. Let's see here. ASL is on here, so good for you for catching that.
Thank you.
The Joy Can, a machine powered by the heart of an orphan, was likely a reference to a 1993 B-movie called Arcade. The villain is a video arcade machine that is powered by a little boy's dead brain cells.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So I kind of want to watch Arcade next week now.
Join us next week when Johnny joins us, and I can't wait to show my kids as we shoehorn in Arcade from 1993. Holy shit, I'm writing that down.
For the next time you need like a video game themed something, or a horror type something, or a B-movie type something, or all of the above, Arcade is right there for you. You called it correctly, and I did not. Dean is wearing a Burger King crown. At least according to the wiki, it's a Burger King crown. He's not doing Jughead. David Koresh is on here. Dr. Strange is on here. Obviously, the episode title is Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, which is a child's rhyme.
Yep.
Okay. Brock Sampson was expelled from State University after killing his fellow college football teammate, Tommy. This is a similar incident to the Philip Wiley novel Gladiator from 1930. It heavily influenced pulp action and superhero genres. So that's something on your to-read list. Philip Wiley's Gladiator.
So you know how when we were doing King of the Hill and our one of the criteria for our rating system was, did I have to learn something? Or, you know, did I look something up? I think this is the same, but this one is actually going to make us do our homework.
I think it might. Honestly, I have a feeling this show is going to fuel the next season and a half, potentially, of Two Wizards, because you're going to find some weird shit on here.
Yeah. It's also weird how much shit we've already hit on here. Yeah.
Yes. Dean watches reruns of Kolchak, the Night Stalker, a 70s TV series about a newspaper reporter who investigates crimes with unlikely causes.
Dude, Kolchak is badass, yeah.
Right? You already hit Zeppelin and In Through the Outdoor. Orpheus's first name is Byron, which is likely a reference to the romantic poet Lord Byron. I don't feel like we need to explain necromancy.
Okay, yeah, necromancy, yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I don't feel like we need to explain necromancy. Guys, if you're listening to us, then you're just as nerdy. You know what necromancy is. Okay, Mark. In ancient Greek mythology, Orpheus was a legendary musician, poet, and prophet. The major stories about him are centered in his ability to charm all living things and even stones with his music. In his attempt to retrieve his wife, Eurydice, from the underworld, and his death at the hands of those who could never or who could not hear his divine music. Doc Hammer says he named Dr. Orpheus after the cult of Orpheus or Orphism because he wanted to have the character to have a credible feel to people who are familiar with magic, spelled with M-A-G-I-C-K.
That would be magic with a K, the type that is featured on the Two Wizards podcast.
Yes. There's a reference potentially to the 1982 movie Poltergeist. Doc Venture begins a scene dictating sternly at the Joy Can, Hank, get out of there. And Dr. Orpheus urges him, be cross with them, as he shouts, boys, this is your father. Come out here this instant. Uh-huh. It's apparently
because you got to get the little girl out.
Yeah, exactly. Out of the closet. Snapple real facts. Dean's statement that penguins have an organ above their eyes that converts seawater into freshwater, he apparently learned in his subliminal learning bed, is quoted in Snapple real facts number 131. Dr. Orpheus, you got this one already. In the Advanced Arachnid Research Center is a reference to Spider-Man, potentially, as well as a reference to Steve Ditko, who worked on Strange and Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, Orpheus Dean's Janice, cat. Too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Orpheus, a lot of Spider-Man love in this.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Orpheus's cat is named Simba, named after the Lion King. There's a lot on this one. There's not a lot on next one. The idea of a room filled with potentially deadly simulations come from the Ray Bradbury short story, The Veldt, in which a married couple worry that their children are becoming too obsessed with a VR room in their house and attempt to wean them away from it, but are eaten by a virtual pride of lions for their efforts.
I thought it was a holodeck. I thought they were just doing holodeck on Star Trek, but yeah, that makes sense too. Okay.
Right. And then the brothers wrapping Dean's piss-covered shirt over Brock's head is a reference to Total Recall, so that you can wrap a wet towel around your head to disrupt a tracking device. God, that was a lot of references.
That was a lot of reference. See, and I like doing this better, and like seeing what you and I are picking up versus... Mm-hmm. Oh, also, that goes into my other thing. Hang on. You're good. You can keep talking, but I...
Yeah, you're good.
Started what? A new segment on here. Or started tracking a new nice. Segment, and you just reminded me that that was my entry this episode. Thank you.
Okay. My next segment here, Mark, is Who's That Guild Member?
Who's that guild member? It's nobody?
But this is also my lore building section. And Mark, you already called it, and I'm very glad that you're watching these and you're not too fucked up to notice, because the only one real big one that I noticed here, other than the introduction of certain characters, knowing that Dr. Orpheus is a single dad, that comes into play a little bit later. Random different stuff like that. You know, there's callbacks to Brock and the kid that he killed in college and all this and that. But the big one that you already called out was Doc getting strangled in the womb, and we've seen it like twice now. That will come back. So, good on you for eagle-eyeing that. And that leads us to Brock's kill of the week, and I'm sad to say I only have two potential things, and one of them is hey, we had something described to us, but we didn't get to see it.
Yeah, I think this might be another one of those references that's really, really smart, and that he keeps referencing, like, Orpheus in Greek shit, and, like, in Greek plays, and, like, the old plays, the violence always happens off stage and is usually described by somebody, and or you walk in on the aftermath of the event. And I wonder if that's not what this is, or they're trying to save on animation. I'm not sure.
It could be. It could be. Honestly, so the two potential kills of the week I saw here is Brock atop Corpse Mountain, which, I mean, it's not kills, but we get to see the aftermath of him fighting dinosaurs and polar bears and shit like that. But the one I'm sad we didn't see is him taking a sock full of party snaps and blowing a dude's head off with it.
Oh, I'm putting that one on the list.
that's my kill of the week. Like, if you're asking me, that's the one, and I'm sad we didn't get to see it, but that's a very visceral description. I don't know if you had something else.
No, the only one that I caught was the Ninja Cowboy Dinosaur Dream Massacre.
Okay. Excellent. Well, Mark, I think that brings us to our rankings. If you are, actually, unless you have anything else to add.
Well, I would like to be so bold and say, hey, two wizards did it. Once upon a time, during an episode called Giant Bird Attacks, I learned about a process that vultures and condors use called urohydrosis, in which they shit on their legs and then reabsorb the nutrients and water that they shit onto their legs while flying, allowing them to maintain flight for longer periods of time.
Wow. Okay. That is disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo. Okay. I think we are to rankings then, if we don't have any more two wizards.
I think we're right on there, man. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Mark, to rank our episode here, we're going to test and see just how messed up you need to be in order to enjoy it. At the very bottom, we have our must-have. You must have alcohol, weed, whatever your drug of choice might just so happen to be, to enjoy this episode. It's because it's not very good. It's not very watchable. It's kind of all over the place. And, well, you just need a little pick-me-up to carry you through there, and that's what's going to do it. After that, you've got better episodes, and those are our dabble-do-yas. Dabble-do-ya episodes are a little bit better. You could definitely benefit from being a little inebriated here because, hey... Who's going to say no to just a little something extra here? But they're also not the best episodes in the world. They you know, will have something hiding in there somewhere, though. After that, you have our fun additions. So this is not necessarily you need something, but it's going to be a better time, a slightly better time, if you do have something going on. This is you and your buddy sharing a six-pack of beers and just watching stupid shit for the next couple of hours or something like that. Yeah, it's fun. It's good. After that, some of our best episodes are our not necessary episodes. These are episodes that you don't need anything. You can be stone cold sober. You're going to enjoy them. They're going to be great. And after that, our best episodes are ones that actually hurt to indulge, right? You're going to be missing things if you're imbibing in things. You're going to miss some cool plot points for future episodes. You're going to miss a joke here, a gag there, something written or animated into the background. You don't want to miss that sort of stuff. And these are some of our best, absolute best episodes, like most fun ones to watch. So, Mark, scale of must have to hurts to indulge. Where'd you put this episode?
I would say a dabble do ya. Not a lot happens here. There's some good back and forth. I mean, there's cool introduction of characters and stuff, but, like, you don't need a lot. But even if you were, like, I don't know, if you were doing all right, you know, if you were on a scale of 1 to 11, I'd put it, if you were, like, at a 4 or 5, yeah, you'd be fine with it. You know what I mean? You're not going to lose anything out on this. You might laugh a little bit harder as you reflect in your mind about what you would do in a joy can. You know, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. How about you, buddy?
So I also gave it a dabble do ya. So this episode, it's definitely a little slow to start, and it's very self-contained, right? We never leave the venture compound.
Very self-contained. Yeah.
We never leave the venture compound. We get a really cool introduction, a cool backstory. We get some recurring characters, right? And we're starting to see some of these other characters that aren't the main, you know, not the ventures. They're not Brock, anything like that. But, like, we've got Molotov coming back really quick. We also get our first introduction of our first member of the Order of the Triad in Dr. Orpheus. You're going to meet the other two a little bit later. They're fantastic. But he, I don't know what the development of that character looks like. At this point, if you told me, okay, this might only be one season, I don't see him coming back time after time. I don't see him being a heavy hitter in this series. I see him being like, hey, I'm going to show up maybe once or twice a season. And he becomes more than that as this goes on. And I think that's really cool. I think they found something really fun to do with Doc Orpheus. But no, definitely, this is a dabble do ya. I think I would want to be a little bit more messed up. I watched this Stone Cold Sober today, and I definitely wanted to have something else, even though it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I think, honestly, it's not a stinker of an episode, but it's not my most fun we've had yet.
Yeah, I'm just kind of almost indifferent to it. We've been having a lot more fun. It's been a lot more violent up until now, and I'm like, you give Brock Sampson a holodeck, and we don't get to see him do much of anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you do, but you don't.
Exactly,
I see a lot of, like, hip thrusting, but...
Also, kids, a vital life lesson Brock should teach us all is that you always start by eating the pie, even if it's poisonous. Don't worry, guys. It's all right. I'll be fine.
Sometimes the pie is worth it. Mark, why don't we move on over to our next episode?
Only if that pie is Alamo, Johnny.
It's grilled cheese pie. All right, Mark. Well, why don't we tune our communicator watches to episode 6, Ghosts of the Sargasso. We get our first look at Jonas Venture and the rest of the team Venture over the Bermuda Triangle as they watch the demise of one Major Tom. Cut to modern day, Doc, Brock, and the boys are on an expedition to find a flying saucer left behind by Jonas. On the surface, the crew encounters a ghost ship. After Dean and Brock are caught, it's all up to Hank to save the ship. Doc, meanwhile, is stuck in some underwater chewing gum when his ultrasonic locator resurrects a real ghost. Major Tom becomes a major pain, and with some real-world resolution is sent back to the liquid death from whence he came. Alright.
That got
kind of good in the end there. It's good. Our notables and first appearances in this episode. We have Colonel Gentleman, Genie, Kano, Major Tom, Mass Pirate, Metasonic Locator, The Action Man, The Pirate Captain, TVC-15, and the X-2. Not to be confused with the X-1, because the X-1 is...
a jet.
And the X-2 is...
a boat.
A hydrofoil. But yes, a boat.
I don't know why I said it like that.
I don't know what the difference is. Mark, what's a rusty venture?
Oh, buddy, a rusty venture is when you and your lady are experimenting in the backdoor department, but you lose your Imperial Viper probe droid, and you need to find it before it activates its self-destruct mechanism.
Excellent. Rusty Adventure is also when you get dropped by your son because he doesn't know how to operate a forklift or a crane or anything like that, you know, and the controls are kind of sticky and you totally bash your head. I love that earlier in the episode, Mark, that you brought up Jacques Cousteau, because that is immediately what came to mind here is Doc is narrating everything, right? Is journal entry number 26. Yeah. And I'm like, you are doing this in like you're rewinding and redoing and everything else because you want to sound so much like the expert in this, like Jacques Cousteau, just exploring the deep recesses of the icy depths. It just that made me very happy. What do you got for me? Give me some of your Rusty Ventures.
Some of my Rusty Ventures here. Wow, it's mostly just pop culture references that I picked up on. I will get better about writing scripts here. But things that stood out to me. I like that. You know, of course Hank is bad at it. Doc never showed him how to actually work the crane controls. That's great.
Right.
How could he not be bad? There's an important lesson to be learned here, and it's, you know, the throat is a handle and the carotid is a button, and you squeeze the handle and push the button.
And yes.
I don't know about you. Listeners, go ahead and do this at home. Put your hand around your neck and then feel the pulse. There you go. It works. Brock is right. But if you're like me, and I know I am, you can't really get your hand around your neck because my God, you've got a fat neck, Mark.
I definitely just did it to myself and I went, oh, I'm really glad my windpipe isn't super large.
I got a big old one. This show hit so many primal fears for me. It's amazing.
Oh, no.
It is amazing how scared this show makes me feel. Like a child, honestly. It activates like a reptile part of my brain. The first one, we talked about it in Trouble in Turtle Bay, when the Monarch drones are in the asteroid and they land door down in the Venture grass. And, like, they just leave them. I hate that shit. But then, like, Doc in his big daddy suit. Number one, like, the legs. So number one, getting stuck in the clam. Okay, that's pretty bad. Then the legs being disabled. Okay, that's pretty bad. And then number three, it filling up with water until the last there.
Ugh, yep.
Damn it, you guys.
And he's just narrating the whole time.
Huh?
Like, he's narrating the whole time. So you get to hear essentially his last death rattle.
Yeah. It's bleh. Which, again, it's great. I don't know. It's scary. I don't know. This show makes me feel things. I don't know. Johnny, talk to me about some of your stuff, too, because I hate to dominate a conversation.
No, you're good. You're good. I like, so this show, it subverts some of the cartoons it's making fun of, right? We have a very Scooby-Doo invasion of the X2. We have ghost pirates, and we've got guys that are like, they've got smoke machines and all this other shit, and that's all fine, dandy, and fantastic. We get our pirate captain who accurately calls out, if you'd played by, you know, ghost pirate rules, he'd be fine. But no, you had to take it a step farther and you had to kill the guy. And gives him this whole long spiel of, okay, you know, was this supposed to be a cartoon? Why aren't you treating this like a cartoon? Clearly we're all animated, can't you see that? And Brock's like, no. It's my job to kill threats, so I killed the dude.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole monologue of, no, you just had to take it a step farther. Great, great stuff.
Ripping Brock's ass, it's really funny, yeah.
Right. Mark, do you smoke?
No.
Good, because now's a lousy time to start. That line kills me, because it's like...
That's hilarious.
Brock is giving him like life advice. At least that's what it sounds like, right? Like, you know, don't light a cigarette because a good sniper can see a cherry from like a mile away or some shit like that. But I don't smoke, Brock. Yeah. Good. Now's the time to really, like, a really lousy time to start. Like, okay.
That's really good.
I got a question I want to pose to you.
Okay.
Brock mentions to Hank, he's like, you have to be my hands. And he teaches him the whole thing about the handle and the button and all this and that. The next time we see Hank, he has allegedly knocked out two pirates by himself. Do you think he actually did it?
Yeah, 1,000%.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, we see him tied him up, and then like that pirate captain even makes the joke like, "What kind of bodyguard makes such beautiful bows?" Yeah.
Okay. So then I guess my next question to follow up from that is that believable to you? Knowing what you know about Hank at this point.
So canonically, yeah, sure, because the joy tube existed. And we all know that he went in for extra batting practice, so to speak.
Okay. I have on here that I love that we're already hitting pay dirt with Orpheus. We introduced him last episode, and we get to bring him on with this one, with Major Tom.
Yeah.
And his horrible wailing and shrieking. Also, a little animation note that I noticed. This is my last one here, and then you can finish up yours. Did you notice that Dean gets his little lick-on, stick-on tattoo after all?
Oh, shit. No, I didn't see that. What is it?
It's like a rainbow or a unicorn or something. It's very multicolored, but it's on his arm at the end when he's with the pirate captain. Like, he's gone full Stockholm at this point. But he's like, oh, did that hurt? No, you just lick your arm. Yeah, no, he gets his own. What other Rusty Ventures you got here?
Scooby-Doo jokes, ? Yeah, that's what we're doing. You called it out, and I'm willing to just go with it.
Yep.
The ghost of Major Tom is genuinely terrifying, and I like it. Like, that initial cut of just, like, it's a really good design. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I don't know where else to put this, so I'm just going to put it in here now, and I'd like to propose a new segment, and it's called What's the Venture Bros Really About? Because I'm pretty sure it's about kidney health, John. Now, if I may be so bold.
Are you talking about peeing off the helipad?
Hear me out, buddy. In Trouble at Turtle Bay, I don't remember one. Dia de los Dangerous, Doc gets his kidneys stolen. Careers in Science, Rusty Pee-Pee. Of course it's gross, because all he does is take amphetamine pills. Okay. Homeland Security, ? Talented Mr. Brisby, I know there's one in there, but I can't remember it. Eeny, meeny, miny, magic, Dean's pissy shirt. And then leading up into this, I'm pretty sure that he's got a UTI because he went pee like five times.
Which he didn't actually have a UTI. He just likes the arc it makes off the helipad.
I think he might have a UTI. I think it might be two things, honestly.
He gets both? Okay. No, I think it might be both.
There's just a lot of pee jokes in here, dude. And like, I don't know. So I now have two running tabs. It's my like, ha ha ha, Brock and his, you know, mini beatdowns and kidney health.
Kidney health. How many times are we going to talk about kidney health in Venture Bros? That's interesting. I've never made that connection before, but yeah, they deal with a lot of piss in this show.
Yeah, and it's always unhealthy piss, too. Like, this ain't like Tom Hanks, like, I drive the plot by peeing on things. There's something wrong with your organs, Doc.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some pop culture references, buddy.
Okay. So I think you and I both very clearly hit Scooby-Doo, right? It's a Scooby-Doo style ghost pirate. I think if I go into the actual references here, they give me a specific like episode number plot point thing. We'll get into that a little bit later. Mark, what do you think James Taylor has to say about this episode?
Sweet dreams and flying machines flying safely through the air.
He is Major Tom, right? Like, he does ground control to Major Tom. It's not that specific
song.
No.
Oh. I'm sorry. Listeners, Johnny's fired from High Hammock Radio.
Oh, no.
That's it. James Taylor? James Taylor doing Space Oddity? Are you fucking kidding me, sir? Excuse me?
I know the line. I don't know the excuse, I don't listen to that.
Excuse me, please, and thank you. It's David Bowie, John.
Oh, wow. You went into straight up, like helper
misfire.
With me right
I
now?
Did.
No,
I
like,
went
like
on straight
you literally
misfire.
Were so
yeah.
loud, all I heard was helper, and then I heard David Bowie, and I went, oh, wow, Johnny
good.
Fucked up hard.
Good, because you did. No, actually, no, it's all right. I don't blame you. Actually, I do blame you, because you should have picked this one up through osmosis, just through me. No.
I should
Space
have.
Space Oddity was written... Space Oddity is written by David Bowie, and more interestingly than that, it syncs up perfectly with our timeline here, because when does this happen, John? What year?
62, I think?
69,
okay.
You know what else happened in 1969? We landed on the moon. But also, the same day that we landed on the moon, July 22nd, 1969, pretty sure it's July 22nd, 1969, David Bowie dropped Space Oddity. Very gallows humor of the man to drop a song about an astronaut dying in space. But yeah. Back in episode one of this, and you asked me what I knew about Venture Bros, and I said, not really a lot, just one David Bowie joke. This was the one David Bowie joke. Literally the lyrics, okay. When he's dying, tell my wife I love her very much. And then the guy cuts in, Doc Venture cuts in on the comm. She knows. It's literally, tell my wife I love her very much. She knows. Ground control to Major Tom, your circuit's dead. There's something wrong. It's David Bowie, what, top 10 best Bowie songs, and I love Bowie. I am a... God. Okay, that's what I'm doing in the Joy Tube, is just, like,
listening
hanging
to David Bowie.
Out with David Bowie. Just hanging out with David Bowie. Like, Bowie over Zeppelin every fucking time. I don't even mind telling you, and our listeners. God, I love David Bowie. Yeah, sorry. I don't mean to be so mean to you. I'm sorry if like, I came at you really hot there. No. I apologize.
No, you are okay. So Bowie's never been my guy. Like that's just the long and short
of
fair.
It.
And I know it's a gap in my musical knowledge here, but that's okay. I can be publicly shamed for it. I'm okay with it. There's shit I publicly shame you about all the time.
Yeah, fair enough. I would recommend go listen to Hunky Dory. It's a really, really good album. It might be my favorite of his, but yeah.
Okay.
Or, actually, no. Go listen to Ziggy Stardust Inspired. Like, even, dude, my Twitter handle, Marky Stardust. My stage name is Marky Stardust because Ziggy Stardust. Like,
Okay.
David Bowie is my dad, man. We even have the same last name. His name is David Jones. Like, or his real name is David Jones. But, like, yeah, Hunky Dory, Ziggy Stardust and Spiders from Mars. Fantastic. Oh, God. Kids.
Okay.
Station to Station. Oh, my God. Go listen to Station to Station and cry about it. Heroes. Oh, my God. It's so good. Anyway, sorry. I'll move on here. I don't know. I'm sure it's a reference to Doc in his, I call it his Big Daddy suit, but I'm pretty sure that's a reference to, like, what 90s, I don't know what you call them, bathysphere suits? I don't know what you call the deep underwater suits, whatever.
Like the high-pressure suits.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that's what they looked like in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
The Sargasso, Ghost of the Sargasso. John, the Sargasso Sea is a stretch in the Bermuda Triangle that is dominated by a type of seaweed called sargassum, which turns the seawater this weird, eerie green color.
Okay.
Yeah, it's where some of the origins of the Bermuda Triangle myth came from, because ships can get stuck in it, like they talk about. But also, there is the green flash that is seen in this, and it's also a reoccurring theme of phenomena in the Bermuda Triangle. We don't know what it is. There are flashes of green light, probably outgassing from the sargassum seaweed. Still, you know, like how swamp gas can ignite sometimes? Seaweed can do the same thing, kind of, sort of, sometimes, but not to put too fine a point on it. Bermuda Triangle, duh. And then the really deep cut I got out of this is it's our second Mystery Science Theater 3000 reference in The Screaming Skull. Because Major Tom is literally just a screaming skull. And
okay.
That's a... It's not... I know it's not MST3K, but I'm willing to bet that everybody on the writing staff here is into old horror movies. Just how... We had the Black Scorpion and Tarantula last week, and we're talking about how that's also another, like,
right.
American Takaiju reference. This is, too. Like, a screaming skull. I'm into it. And I think that's all I've got for right now, but I'm sure that I can yell something else out. Also, Scooby-Doo, we already hit that, and then you're writing up, well, it's called terry cloth, and it's like a towel. That's disgusting, and I hate it.
Right. Oh, it sounds awful. Well, not to be the dickhead here, but you definitely ran over my last one, which was, did you notice they're using Batman walkie-talkies, Mark?
What?
Yeah. So they talk about how they hit a Toys R Us thing, like, what was it, like 2 years ago or whatever? And they have, yeah, like a specific walkie-talkie there, but the next time you see somebody with a walkie-talkie, it's a Batman face.
Okay.
Anyway, that was my last one here. But you just kind of launched into yours before I got to it, and I was like, eh, whatever.
I'm sorry.
Go for it. No, you're good. I inflamed you.
You came at me with James Taylor, and I'm sorry, dude. You can't unkick that anthill.
It's true. It's very true. But let's see how many of these we hit, because can I just say, I should have just looked at these a little bit closer and I wouldn't have made an ass of myself. First off, the walkie-talkie Batman. Yep, I hit that one. You hit the Bermuda Triangle. David Bowie is on here, specifically Space Oddity.
Yep.
With Major Tom. The Action Man's name is taken from a line in the David Bowie song Ashes to Ashes.
Oh, shit. Ooh, good job. Okay, cool.
So there you go. There is
Oh, fuck. I should have known. I'm sorry. I should have known that. But wow. Okay, yeah.
No, you're okay. So there is a Doc Savage book about the Sargasso Sea called The Sargasso Ogre, involving pirates who used old ships as bases to hijack passing ocean liners. And the original team venture are loosely based on Doc Savage's companions in adventure, the Fabulous Five. We also have
Kano.
Yes.
Okay.
We have Johnny Quest references here. The episode setting is a reference to the first episode of Johnny Quest, The Mystery of the Lizard Men, which was set in the Sargasso Sea. Major Tom's ghost is visually similar to the World War II zombie crew of the B-17 segment of Heavy Metal. You hit Sargassum already. And let's see here.
Wait. Sorry. Wait, go back to Heavy Metal. Say that part again. Sorry.
Yes. So the Major Tom's ghost, the visual style of it.
Oh, shit. You're right. It's supposed to be. Okay, you're right. Yeah.
Based around the World War II zombie crew for the B-17 segment.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to like cut you off. You just phased out a little bit.
And then the last one here is Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The original 69 to 1970 run. Major Tom's ghost is loosely based on the ghost spaceman from the 1969 episode Spooky Space Kook, which left glowing footprints behind it as it walked.
Okay.
So.
Also, Phantom Spaceman in Careers in Science, I would say, is a pretty close second to there.
Oh, Mark, you have to say it right. Phantom Spaceman.
Put him in the pretzel bender. Brock's got to teach me that one.
Mark, who's that guild member?
It's
David Bowie? I don't know. Again, we're not really... does Action Man reappear? I want to say I feel like I recognize a dude with an A on his face. Is that Man?
For our lore building guild member / villain of the week / we're shit to keep an eye out for, the OG team venture is on here. So the Action Man, Kano... let's see, who all else did we have our things here? Colonel Gentleman, Genie, Major Tom, I don't believe comes back again. Like all of these guys, like Jonas Venture's original crew, they come back quite a bit. You'll see a lot of them.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yes. So, that's our big lore building piece from this episode. Really, I mean, you're going to start to notice a pattern of every now and then we'll get an episode where Rusty is just cleaning up after something his dad fucked up or just did half-assed and never actually fixed. So, All right, Mark, we are to Brock's Kill of the Week. I have three here for you to choose from. Feel free to add any others that I may have missed. But first, we have Brock annihilating the Scooby-Doo ghost. We have Brock torching the pirate ship and fucking up the Major Tom ghost. But my personal favorite and my one for number one here is Brock giving a very specific pirate the Kegels of Doom. Pretty sure he cut off a dude's finger. Feel free to add a different one in there, but there's... Those are your kills of the week.
Well, so I had Pirates on the X2 and Fist of Fury or Murder on the Poop Deck.
It's got to be Murder on the Poop Deck.
We're going to call it Murder on the Poop Deck.
Love it.
I also, can we just like take a beat here and say how much I can appreciate the fact that not even Patrick Warburton, just John, what's the most vulnerable position you can be in? Yeah, now stick your arm up my ass and let me show you what vulnerability really means.
Cavity searches all around. Don't stop till you reach the back of his teeth. All right. Well, Mark, I do believe unless we have two wizards did it, we are to our ranking.
Oh, baby, do we have a two wizards did it. The two wizards did it. Trifecta of terrifying triangles, where we talk about what? The Bermuda Triangle. Also, Johnny, I cannot make a ghost ship episode work. I'm sorry, I've tried four times, but what I can make work is the episode we did about river pirates last year, and then we also did an entire month on ghosts. So, you know, ripe territory up in there. Yeah.
Okay, so rankings, we have our must-haves, our dabble-do-yas, fun additions, not necessaries, and hurts to indulge. Where'd you put this one, buddy?
I would say, I'm not sure, unnecessary at best. This is a better episode than, I would say, Joy Cans. That's not the right name, but I can't think of the right name. Episode than that one. Thank you. I just think I don't like typing it. That's why I don't want to say it out loud. Because it's stupid, because I want to write it phonetically. Yeah, this is better than Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Magic. I like the reoccurrence of Orpheus. He's back, but he also makes his famous frittatas. But also, he cuts an onion using telekinesis, and I would totally use, like, magic that lazily if I had the ability to use it.
Oh, yeah.
This is a funny episode. I like how quick Dean gets Stockholmed. That's hilarious. And then I like Hank... Well, do I gotta kill him, Brock? Tie him up and gag him, I guess. And he's, like, genuinely disappointed in the boy. And also, too, what you're telling me with, like, the building that will happen with, like, number one, Thaddeus gotta go and fix his daddy's problems. But then also, like, it's a reoccurring segment. Because I didn't, you know, when I watched Careers in Science, I could just kind of assume it was a one-off with the space station not working. But I'm kind of excited to see... Again, you know, we were coming back to this idea of, like, you know, is Doc Venture a good scientist or not? Well, he might be better than his dad. I don't know.
He definitely has to address a lot of the shit that, like, we get to see a lot of interaction between stuff that Jonas did and stuff that Rusty now has to do, either in response to it or because it wasn't done correctly or because he can improve upon it somehow. Like, yeah, no, it's a fun through line for sure.
Yeah. So what are you gonna give this one, buddy?
So I gave this one a fun addition. I really like seeing all the original Team Venture here, even though it's just the first like 30, 40 seconds. Getting to know those characters early on, I didn't realize you got to meet so many of them so early. So they're going to come back, and I like seeing that. You'll be able to kind of reference back to, oh, yeah, I've seen Kano before. Okay. It also, this to me showcases Jonas's fucked up parenting pretty good. Because he, like, at one point he's just like, no, take him away, just go put him somewhere else. And that's just basically where Rusty spends most of their adventures, which is probably why they all, like he has such horrible memories of them.
Right.
I like seeing, this is the first time we've seen, like, everybody get really all of them split up, right? So Hank and Brock end up having to split apart from each other. Dean is already taken by somebody. And then Doc is just way the hell away from everybody else because he's under the sea. Like, we get to do almost four individual stories here at a certain point, and I like that. I think it shows the strength of the characters early on.
Also good on the writing, because you can separate four characters, and, like, how many times do we get mad at King of the Hill when, like, there was a B plot that just was trash? It's like, why is this in here? And, like, these are all
A character that says one line that's not necessary. Just because they needed to have a character there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's, what do you call this? Like, I don't want to say conservation aligns, but, like, I don't know. This is, okay, I'm about to be inflammatory here. This is better writing than, I would say, 90% of King of the Hill, right?
It's more skillful writing. I wouldn't say better, but I would say more skillful. Like, there's a different
tomato,
craft.
Tomato. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's some of this also boils down to personal preference, because I would watch a lot of King of the Hill over this episode of Venture Bros. But anyway, okay. I also love that you called out Dean Stockholm Syndrome. That was hilarious to me that he just kind of attaches himself. This is not the last we'll see of the pirate captain. He will be a kind of a recurring character. Okay. And you can't say that about many of the quote unquote like rando villains that show up that aren't directly involved with the Guild for Calamitous Intent.
Like jobbers, Yeah,
most of them are the Gilbergs. This is the really random, weird James Ellsworth that shows up and you actually root for to actually take the title off of somebody. fucking Ellsworth. Anyway, so yeah, it's a fun addition for me. It's not quite up to the not necessary like you, but honestly, I'm glad that you ranked it as high as you did, because it means you're starting to get invested in the characters. You're starting to see the value and everything in here. With that, of course, part of this comes because you're tracking, you're keeping score tally of certain things, right, Mark?
Oh, buddy, ain't I. Future Mark, cue up that Battle of Evermore ripoff that I'm sure you found by now. We're going to talk about Brock's best battles, because yes, that works better than Brock's best fight phonetically, and I'm an asshole about alliteration. So this is all the Brock fights that you and I have tracked throughout the series up until now. So we have... Deep breath, Mark. Mummy in the landing gear, Gator in the landing gear, beating down muggers with a door, Checkers auto parts of pain, parking lot dart battle, Chupacabra kill in the plane, Rusty venturing in the Monarch's lair, putting the Phantom Spaceman in the pretzel bender, strong man, strong arming, man strong in space, knifing sass, shaving the sass, sorry, Mandalay in the hallway, Molotov cocktease and the duvet of death, bathroom dick beatdown in the beehive, and then the mind-blowing fireworks sock, and then the ninjas versus cowboys versus dream massacre, and finally pirates on the X2, murder on the poop deck, or burning down the ship. I'm still gonna say that Rusty venturing in the Monarch's lair when Brock is doing donuts of death in the grandma's urn base is the best Brock Samson battle.
It will never be
whatever the Monarch's base is called. It will always be Grandma's Ashes base.
It's never the cocoon. It's always Grandma's Ashes. I'm going to stick with last week's dick beatdown, because it's going to be real hard to outdo that one this season. It is going to be hard. But really, if we had seen him use snaps to blow up a dude's head, that probably would have taken it.
I almost feel bad including that one because we don't see it actually happening.
I do, but I don't, because it builds the myth of the legend of Brock Simpson.
Yeah, and I think that's why it needs to stick around.
Yes. All right, Mark. All right. Well, hey, we've rated it. We've watched them both. We've found our kill of the week, our kill of the season so far. We're working towards that. Our next bit here is before we get out of here is I got to ask you, has this started to weave its way in? Has it started replacing anybody on your Mount Rushmore of Adult Swim shows?
Not by a long shot, but I can tell you that it is surreptitiously unseated one that I didn't even know it could surreptitiously unseat, and that would be I like it better than the Mighty Boosh. I like the Mighty Boosh, right? But the show I like better than the Mighty Boosh is Flight of the Conchords, because it's better. All right. Flight of the Conchords does a really cool episode where they feature them doing David Bowie shit, and it's fantastic. However, this is the best use of Bowie I think I've ever seen in TV, and I would... God, dude, I am so horned up for Bowie right now. I'm just going to go listen to his entire catalog.
So it's working its way in there.
It's getting in there, man. We're getting the earworms, so to speak. Like, I want to know if that tattoo hurt. I'm going to ask questions about the tattoo. I'm not going to sit on your lap yet, but I'm invested.
Hey, my assertion for this is that by season three, this is where you're going to be.
Season three. I mean, yep. you aptly called the final blue flame count, so I'm willing to say that you're not totally off base here. How about you? Is this still up on your Mount Rushmore, or did it get knocked off this week?
No, it's definitely still up there. As I rewatch this, I'm very curious to see if it ever overtakes it. So this is like a solid number three for me. I at almost any given point, I'm going to watch King of the Hill. I know, total bullshit, but I'm going to watch King of the Hill or I'm going to watch Rick and Morty over this because I don't have to think about them. And I don't like watching this show to not think about it. It's not one that I've gotten to the point where I can just kind of put on in the background and listen to anymore. Those other two, I've gotten to that point. And maybe I will with this. Maybe I can just kind of pick it up. But there's still so much depth in this show that I'm like, I'm not there yet. I want to pay attention every single time. So it takes a lot more effort to watch this one, if that makes sense.
If you don't mind. So I was going to say, that's kind of a point that we should, or that I'm starting to realize here is, this isn't a thing you can throw on in the background so far. Like,
yeah,
it's quick. It happens. I even had that as a note. It wasn't I just didn't see it as I was reading off my notes for the first one. Damn, these are quick.
Yeah.
Like, they just go, and a lot happens, and you need to pay attention. Like, yeah, it's interesting.
So, it's very different in a streaming world. Like, you can tell this show started in a non-streaming world for that very reason.
Right. Right.
Because this is nothing like Futurama or The Simpsons, even American Dad, where like, cool, you can play in the background. I can put you on to fall asleep to, yada, yada, yada. This is what it is. No, you have to pay attention to it. Like, it's every episode is very deliberate and they do a good job of kind of shaking things up. Not every episode feels the same. You never really know what you're going to get. These two episodes, I don't feel like they felt the same at all to each other.
No. But it's, but I like that it's a similar through line, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
there's a spine, I guess, to this is my point. I think you mentioned once upon a time you said something to the effect of there's a stronger golden thread throughout this. And I think that's the best way to say it. Yes. Yeah. And that's what I'm seeing now. I mean, what is this, 6 episodes in? Like, yeah, I am into it and I'm invested. And more importantly, I'm having a hard time stopping at 2 episodes. I want to keep going. So
yeah,
shit, I will take that right now as a good omen. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Well, I think we ought to pack up our helper bots and head out for the day. But before we do, I got to give you one more Go Team Venture.
That's just something that they do. Go Team Venture.
All right, guys, if you want to follow the Dang Old Venture Boys, we are on social media platforms. We are on Twitter. We're on Instagram. The best place to get a hold of us is on our Blue Sky feed. We are High Hammock Radio on Blue Sky. It's where you can find all of the High Hammock shows, including the other two that Mark does. You can also reach out to me personally. I'm on Blue Sky and on Instagram. I am Krautball. Kraut as in sauerkraut and ball as in Swedish meatball. Mark, where can these lovely people hear your voice 2 more times a week, at least?
At least 2 more times a week. I've already pimped this mercilessly, but I'll just pimp it 1 more time. I can't wait to show my kids a cinematic review show where me and our buddy Brad fill in gaps in our cinematic knowledge and talk about when you can show those pictures to your kids. We're neck deep in World War II right now. I already mentioned that, but you get to hear it again because I said so. And then you can also find me on the Two Wizards podcast where me and our buddy Josh stare into the void so you don't have to. And I already gave you my Twitter, but 1 more time, I'll give it to you. It's Marky Stardust. That's Mark, as in my name with a Y, and Stardust, as in Ziggy, with a Z. So go find me there. Talk to me about Bowie. Yeah, go do that. Talk to me about, like, the practical applications of chaos magic in terms of making music, because David Bowie did it. And to create something out of nothing makes you the truest artist and wizard of all. Ergo, Johnny, you and I making something out of this makes us even stronger wizards. We're already, like, you know, Gandalf the Greys at this point, but we're pushing into white territory, I reckon.
I think we're getting to that point, for sure. We're going to see how well you appreciate that statement when I come to you next week with an AI-generated James Taylor song as done by Bowie.
Tell you what, dude, you give me the chords and I'll fucking play it for you. I do a really good Bowie voice when I play guitar, so yeah, you let me know.
Amazing. Hey, guys, thanks so much for listening, and always,
go Team Venture.